Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman, and I'm joined today by Rich Hershen of Gray, Gray & Gray.
Hi, John. How are you?
Great. Great to have you with us, as always.
Yeah, thanks. It's great. Great location today in downtown Quincy, Massachusetts.
Yes, we are. We're coming to you from the offices of Best of Care. And next up on Radio Entrepreneurs is CEO of Best of Care, Stephen Smith. Welcome, Stephen.
Not just the CEO, Matt, the founder of Best of Care.
True. The founder, not only a customer, but the founder.
That's right.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for hosting today and for having us. And it's wonderful to learn about your company. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the background and the founding of the company?
The company was founded in 1981. I was actually working for a gentleman who had started a company, a home care company, and that was back in the days when home care was in its infancy. I quickly became an office manager. Within a year and a half, he decided he wanted to get out of the business, and an opportunity there was for me. So I seized it and have been working here and growing the company for the past 37 years.
Well, that's wonderful. So really talk about the infancy and back to the beginning. How do you get over that hurdle of people even understanding what the concept was all about? Because it was very polarized then. It was people lived at home or people lived in nursing homes.
And correct. Actually, nobody knew what it was. I used to tell my friends and what I was doing, and they would say, "What is that?" And no one knew. Essentially, when the Executive Office of Elder Affairs came into being sometime in the 70s, and they set up the system of elder services, 27 elder care services out here across Massachusetts, they were taking care of certain areas, and people were starting to get care at home. Mostly it was house cleaning, laundry, grocery shopping, and then it quickly gravitated to levels of personal care, and more people sort of to seize upon it, and it was kind of wide open back then. And it's grown since, and it's grown quite well with the demographic and the aging population. So here we are today, 30, 40 years later, and everybody knows now what it is. Everybody knows how cost-effective it is, and it continues to grow at a rapid rate.
So you're a real pioneer in this space, being early to the game and seeing it. What was it that made you say, you know what, you think this is a good business and an area that you wanted to get into and purchase the company and grow it? What do you see in it?
It's not so much what I thought it was a good business per se in terms of its you know, money making ability or anything. I always felt good about what I was doing. At the end of the day, you were leaving the office, but you know you had provided some kind of service that was needed. It wasn't something like a consumer product that I was just putting out there and hoping somebody buys. This was helping the seniors themselves, family members, again, it was something that I enjoyed doing and had a sense of purpose with. And of course, as it grew and got bigger and more profitable, even the better. But ultimately, I think it, in the beginning, it was, hey, this is important.
Yeah.
How much is that core mission and those values that sounds like were some of your impetus for getting into the business have been the foundation for the business's growth over time? It would seem to me that if you're hiring people that have those same value sets, they stick with you. They care about the people that they're caring for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're really doing what some might say the most personal services, right? You're really
Correct.
Getting up and close with people in their homes in
Right.
times of need, vulnerable population. So how important has that foundation been towards the success and growth of the business?
I think what you're always looking for is, do I want this person to take care of my mother or my father? Do I want this individual coming into someone's home? So you're looking for people who have compassion, who are high energy. They're looking to help. I'm not a caregiver. It takes a special person. I'm not a caregiver, but I know how to hire them. I know how to look for them. And that's the kind of individuals you want. It's predominantly female-oriented. Hmm. If I've hired and employed 5,000 people in my work life, I've hired 4,900 females. These are the people, they're the nurturers in life, and they're the caregivers. And it can be across a wide age spectrum. I could hire a 65-year-old, I could hire a 25-year-old. It all depends on the individual and if they have it, if they have that need, that feeling to help and want to give time and effort and make somebody comfortable in their own home.
Is that a hard person to find with that skill set and that DNA, I guess?
You find them. Not everybody is like that, obviously. Yeah. But you try to find people and hope people have some of those instincts that I mentioned, and they become better at it. You know, they enjoy the work. It's new to sometimes it's new. It's like hiring somebody and then, you're putting them out there. They're not reporting somewhere every day to an office. They're just going to they're following a schedule, and they're going and they're knocking on someone's door, and they're going in, and for the next 2 hours, they're giving their time to that individual. So it takes a responsible individual, and it has to have that mix of, caring for someone else.
I'd imagine today there's a lot more in the way of ability to, for lack of a better term, track what's going on in the field. Technology, when the business was founded, and you're really a pioneer, and you're really talking about the Wild Wild West. How did you establish some of the, for lack of a better term, controls to make sure that your clients were getting proper care? And I imagine that separates you from the guys that don't survive.
There's one key that's been there throughout time here, and that is communication. Communication with the aide, communication from the aide or the homemaker back to me, communication with the seniors. And the communication methods have changed, obviously, over the time. When I started out, I had an answering service. And then voicemail came in. And then beepers and pagers came in. And then cell phones came in. And communication theoretically advanced over each in every step of the way. And now I'm back to an answering service. Because people want to call in and get a
live human being.
Yeah, especially the elders. They want to talk to somebody. So communication is extremely important. And in terms of people out in the field, you have to have people that are willing to communicate. It's a little bit of a challenge with today's generation because with all the methods of communication, they really don't want to communicate.
Right.
So getting
not face to face, anyways.
Not face to face,
and not by voice.
No, not by voice.
Message me.
So that's a bit of a challenge, and it's ongoing, but it's still the key to the business, successful business in terms of scheduling and getting people out there.
So since 1981, the company's changed certainly with technology and different ways of communicating as an example, but you've also grown and expanded to different geographic regions. I believe recently in the past couple of years, you expanded in the Cape Cod.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us why you chose to go in the Cape Cod and some of the challenges about growing in that area have been?
Well, Cape Cod, if you look at the demographics, in the year 2000, there were 11,000 80-plus year-olds living on the Cape. 2015, that number had grown to 21,000. It had nearly doubled. And by the year 2030, it'll probably be about 40,000. It's still the retiree capital of Massachusetts and a lot of places in the Northeast. So that's one reason. Secondly, my wife and I built a home down the Cape.
Oh, convenience.
And she's retired. I'm hoping to be retired someday. But in the meantime, I'd open up an office, established a contract with Elder Services of Cape Cod and the Islands, and in the last 2 years, it's grown considerably. Once you start to get a workforce, once you start to get a little name recognition with the company, the clients come to you. Some savvy marketing too as well.
Yeah.
But it's grown, and we're over on Martha's Vineyard as well. There are some challenges to the Cape. For instance, there's a seasonal aspect of the Cape. So not only do clients migrate to Florida come Columbus Day, workers are also migrating back and forth. So what happens is, when you get the big migration down and the snowbirds go head out, all right, so you're losing clients. And come this time of year in the winter, you have a lot of people who are there still looking to make a paycheck. So you get workers, but you have your client load is down in Florida. The clients come back in May, and the season starts up, and you lose a lot of workers to waitstaff jobs. So there's a seasonal backwardness to our operation, even though we're not seasonal. We provide care 365 days a year. So you have to overcome that seasonal aspect of it and plan accordingly. But you can make it grow. You can make it grow.
I'd imagine one of the other challenges in your business is there's a lot of it that is, for lack of a better term, urgent. Immediate needs, people calling with the, you know, mom fell and, you know, mm-hmm. I need somebody today.
Mm-hmm.
How do you reconcile that challenge? And, you know, do you have a deep bench and an available bench? And
what I always tell people is, because rehabs and hospitals sort of discharge, and you get a baby boomer son or daughter who's calling up and saying, my mother's being released tomorrow, what do I do? And it might be her first introduction to home care for this daughter. So she's in a high state of anxiety. And what I always tell people is to relax. We'll get there. We'll get a nurse out there. We'll do something, all right? But I also tell them what you want to do before you, engage with anybody like me privately is you want to exhaust all the funding sources. There are funding sources for every senior. There is Medicare, Medicaid, there's the Elder Service Program, here's a phone call, you know, do your due diligence. Maybe Elder Services will give your mother, 6 hours a day, 6 hours a week, 2 hours, 3 days a week, and maybe she needs more, then you hire privately.
Okay, so you can fill in around some of the public services.
So a lot of times these, people, I mean, life has taken them. The people are dispersed now. So somebody's daughter is living down in New Jersey, but she just wants her mother to stay in that Cape house where she's been for 50 years. Or it could be here. It could be in the Quincy area, any area. So you try to help people get through the anxious time. That quick time about getting their mother home, getting her settled, getting some service in there, and you try to encourage them to, here's the information, here are the other resources available, because your mother being, 80 years old, there's a funding source there somewhere for her.
So you guys really, it sounds like, provide a lot of good counsel, and it's not only about, what you can provide, but linking the dots for them, connecting the dots in terms of helping them navigate.
It truly is a maze when somebody's coming home from the hospital and the son or daughter has not been introduced to home care yet.
So you obviously work a lot with organizations that may be rehabbing people and making them aware of your services, or is that not something that...
We do, but most people coming through now are in Elder Service, because the Elder Service Program has grown tremendously, and a lot of people now know about it as compared to the early years of my career.
Wonderful. So if people listening want to get in touch with you and your organization and find out more about the services that you provide, and what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
You can obviously reach us at our office sites. You can go to the website, bestofcareinc.com, and grab all kinds of information about who we are, the services that we provide, contact information. If people want to seek employment with Best of Care, they can also go to the website and find out how to do that. So we encourage people to utilize the website when looking for home care. And each office is fully staffed, so there's always somebody there to take a phone call. And there is after-hours calling and an answering service to answer all calls.
Wonderful. Our guest on Radio Entrepreneurs, not only our guest, but our host for the day, is Stephen Smith, founder and CEO of Best of Care, Inc. And it's been a real pleasure having you on Radio Entrepreneurs.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with another segment on Radio Entrepreneurs.